I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Agribusiness. It's the series which includes South Dakota Farmers Union Show. And today's show number is 3,476. Joining us in the studio today, one gentleman, they just call him the mayor of Lake Preston, Wayne Soren. Good morning.
Good morning. Not the mayor, just a person from Lake Preston.
That's all right. Do you want to be the mayor? I could be your campaign manager.
No, I do not want to be the mayor. No.
And, of course, he's the vice president of South Dakota Farmers Union. This other guy, Luke Rindell, I call him all kinds of things. I just like him as Luke. Marketing media for South Dakota Farmers Union. I hear you're closer to my neighborhood now. I may have to sell my house.
Well, Bill, that is correct. So I might be bugging you for a cup of sugar later, I guess.
Well, T's a little ways from Hartford, and I won't tell you how to get there. How's that?
Fair enough.
All right. We are going to talk a little bit about the luncheon, the safety quiz, other activities. But we've got a guy by the name of Rounds that's a little busy. Senator Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Appreciate the opportunity to visit with you for a few minutes.
All right. These guys had your name circled, so our job was to get you here. All right, you two. You said you had great questions for the senator. Let's see how you do.
Well, good morning, Senator Rounds. Thanks for joining us here today. I guess the big news, you know, is the bill that came out addressing M-COOL. I was wondering, you know, could you give us a rundown on what that all entails?
Sure. And this is a matter of bringing more people into the mix. We can't get mandatory country of origin labeling on the books unless we get a majority in the House and a supermajority in the Senate. So Senator Thune is leading the effort on this particular one, along with Senator Tester, a Democrat out of Montana, Senator Booker from New Jersey, who is a Democrat, and myself. So this is a bipartisan effort. We'll try to add more people on as we move forward. But our goal is to put within law a mandatory country of origin labeling directive to the administration to make our trade representatives include mandatory country of origin labeling, M-COOL, in their trade agreements. And we put timelines on it. And so moving forward, it's one more step to send a message that while we've lost our ability right now to be able to identify clearly our USA beef, this will take that back. And that's good for consumers and it's good for producers. But, you know, we've only got 9 states in the United States where there's more cows than there are people. And even if you had every single senator from those 9 states, that's only 18 out of 100. So we need consumers to be represented in this. And that's what this is all about, is getting those consumers on board and understanding how critical it is that they be told the truth about where their beef is coming from. And this is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, Senator, say this, Wayne Soren. Could you outline what the problem is with U.S. made and why we need McCool?
Sure. Matter of fact, there's another provision in there, and this is the part that I think people sometimes, they just look at this incredulously. Our own U.S. Department of Agriculture has allowed a voluntary label to be put on beef that says a product of the USA. The problem is, since 2003, all they've allowed the packers, all they have to do is to take boxed beef from overseas and repackage it. And if they repackage it, they've been allowed to call this foreign beef a product of the USA. Well, that's false advertising. We've called them on it. And matter of fact, we talked to them a couple of years ago about it, and they just basically said, oh, we really should fix that. So we waited 6 months, nothing happened, so I introduced legislation along with Cory Booker, and we basically said we're going to take that and make it clear that a voluntary product of the USA is still going to be beef that was born in the U.S., raised in the U.S., fed in the U.S., and processed in the U.S. Well, that hasn't gone anyplace yet. We've got some real competition among the packers. And in fact, they actually came up with a proposal of their own when they saw that the false advertising was a serious issue and said, well, gee, maybe we ought to just change that label and say processed in the USA, which is exactly the opposite of what we're trying to get done. We want American consumers to know where their beef is coming from so we can literally celebrate the quality and the value of beef that's grown home right here in the United States. And when you can't get even a voluntary label to be legitimately put on this stuff, time to go back in and do exactly what we need in the first place, and that is not let the packers manipulate our market by bringing in foreign beef and beef that may not be of the same high quality that the beef in the United States is.
Well, and that's one of the things, Senator, that the ranchers and farmers in South Dakota especially, we're very, very proud of the beef that we produce. And we don't want that U.S. label to be labeled anything other than our beef. And that's what we're proud of.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's got, you know, way back in 2003 and 2004, we were proud enough of South Dakota beef. We actually tried to put together a program called South Dakota Certified Beef, which is still on the books today. But, you know, the Packers actually wanted us to give them the ability to take that beef out of the state and process that beef out of the state. And we told them, no, we want it processed in South Dakota so we could continue to control the quality on it. But even right now, I still try to tell folks, if we can get homegrown beef and let consumers actually see the quality of it, and then to have it at some point compared with foreign beef coming into the United States, they'd start to understand the reason why we are so proud of our homegrown product.
Well, and I know one of the things that's always been brought up is that, you know, you can buy your shirt and you can find out where that one's made, but the thing that you put in your mouth, you can't find out where that's been grown and processed. And that's to me, that's a more important issue than where your shirt comes from.
I couldn't agree more with you. And in fact, here's part of the challenge we've got. The Packers know that too, and they know how valuable that particular label is. That's the reason why they're fighting us so hard on this thing. It's worth a lot of money to them if they can convince the American public that that foreign beef is actually USA beef.
So, Senator, you know, when we did have country of origin labeling for beef, it was, I guess, ruled non-compliant by the WTO. So going forward within the American Beef Labeling Act, how is this going to be compliant with WTO?
Really good question, and you are correct. We had it on the books. We actually had to vote to take it off because they were putting billions of dollars in tariffs on other products. So they weren't hitting the beef market. They were hitting the corn market, the soybean market, lots of other markets to make those other people put pressure on beef producers to get rid of the product of the USA issue. Here's where this is different. This time, we're saying you have to make this a WTO-compliant MCOL, country of origin labeling thing. If you put that into your trade agreements, if your trade representatives actually have to put it in the trade agreements, and that's what we're mandating here, then they have to put those in the agreements that they make with other countries. See, the last time there was never an agreement with Mexico and Canada to allow that to be part of our trade agreements. We're going right after it this year, and we're saying this is so important that our trade reps have to include it in the trade agreements. And we put timelines on it in which we've given them time in which to negotiate it and then implement it. Their date, they're specific, they're in the bill. And if we can get that part done, then WTO will have to agree with us that we are now compliant because it's in our trade agreements. We never had that in our trade agreements in the past. It's time we put it in there.
Senator, would this just be for new trade agreements, or would it also work for existing trade agreements that we already have in place?
It wouldn't work on any existing ones unless we modify them. Now, trade agreements can be modified. And so what we've done in the past with Mexico and with Canada, remember, they like other modifications as well. And so when you negotiate modifications, we're simply just telling our trade reps, this is so critical to the cattle industry, you've got to include it. And oh, by the way, if you can't get this done in a certain date specific, we're going to put it in anyway. And at that point, it's going to become the law of the land again. So figure out a way to put it in, and that way WTO will not be in litigation with us again.
Let me ask this. Our Ag Secretary Vilsack from the state of Iowa, how much help has he been? And how much help do Ag Secretaries usually give on this kind of thing that is bipartisan?
That's going to be a real good question. We're 8 months now into this administration. I've worked with Tom Vilsack when he was governor. He's from Iowa. We expect that he'll be on our side. But once again, within the Department of Ag, there is huge influence by the major packing industry. It's a huge part of our economy here in the United States, and these guys are big players. Remember, you've got four of them that control over 80% of all of our packing processing capabilities. They are big business, and so they will have influence on the decision makers and the rule makers in the Department of Ag. They understand this, and they understand how valuable it is to their bottom line. So this is not going to be an easy fight. And just simply because you've got somebody from Iowa who is the Secretary of Ag doesn't mean that he's going to be able to control that entire bureaucracy which exists within the Department of Ag. We have to stay on it. We have to continue to push it. We have to let them know that we are watching and that we're not going to go away. We're going to stay on this until we get it done.
Senator, thanks for talking to us this morning from Mayo. How's your wife doing?
Well, actually, we're doing better. We're working our way through the process. It's been a long battle. We really appreciate all the prayers and support. Gene's actually here in the room with me right now, and we're looking forward to hopefully getting a new hip for her, and we're excited about that, and then moving back into specifically addressing the challenge of this particular type of a cancer. But we're optimistic. We can see a good path moving forward, but we'll take all the prayers we can get. And thanks for all the support that so many of you have offered in the past.
Talk about bipartisan across South Dakota. It's your wife.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. In most cases, it's the first question I get when I'm out and around. And anytime I get into another community, the first thing they always say is how's Gene's doing? And I really appreciate that. And as I say, we really appreciated all the prayers and all the support. It makes a big difference.
Senator, appreciate the visit this morning.
Thank you.
When we get back, we'll talk with Rob LaRue, National Farmers Union President. Stay with us. This is the South Dakota Farmers Union Show, available live generally on the second Tuesday of the month, 10 to 11 on Kello AM, streaming online. And you can actually catch the show as a podcast, South Dakota Farmers Union website, the Kello website. It will be available. All you got to do is kind of look for the September 14th, 2021 date. Rob LaRue, you stayed on the phone with Senator Rounds. Did you hear anything this morning?
You know, I'm encouraged is what I'm hearing. Really appreciate the leadership that Senator Rounds is displaying, particularly on mandatory country of origin labeling, but a host of issues.
Rob, this is Luke here. Thank you, first and foremost, for joining us for our state fair. You were very much welcomed and appreciated. We are honored to have you there on a panel talking about food security. I don't know, could you give us just a little detail of what the panel was discussing?
Absolutely. I think this is an issue that's not only very much on the forefront of South Dakotans' minds, but really consumers and family farmers alike all across the country. And that is the fact that throughout the entire kind of food system right now, we have become so absolutely concentrated. Those of us that are in the beef markets understand this very clearly. As Senator Rounds just mentioned, you have four packers that control over 85% of the beef market there. That trend is not just existing in livestock and beef market. It's also across the rest of livestock. It is also in the rest of agriculture, everything from fertilizers to inputs to the food manufacturers themselves. There are so few choices and opportunities out here. That whole combination really puts our food security system here in the U.S. With huge question marks. We know that this kind of system is bad for consumers because it raises their price, and we know directly that it impacts farmers' prices for the things that they're buying to put their crop in the ground or to get their livestock to market. And when you have a system like this, any kind you have a disruption, whether it's a pandemic-related one or a fire in one of the big packing plants that we've seen repeatedly, these kinds of disruptions just send huge ripples throughout the entire market, and it's really a bad situation for everyone. And that's that was the message and a lot of the panel discussion there. There certainly was also a call for country of origin, mandatory country of origin labeling. And I think I'm encouraged to hear these kinds of efforts are getting more bipartisan support, growing again, because we need to continue to develop strategies to reduce the concentration in agriculture for the sake of our food supply.
Rob, this is Wayne Sorn. I was going to ask the senator, but we kind of ran out of time. What do you think the chances of his bill getting through Congress is?
Well, that's a great question, Wayne. I think that that's a big question for any piece of legislation, I would argue, these days on Capitol Hill. What I like in terms of the chances is the fact that they started off really smartly, making sure that they have both Democrats and Republicans on this bill. You also have folks who are very much from ranching states and those who are from more suburban, urban states. And that's what we're going to need in order to grow the support. I think it's a little early to see exactly what that support is, but I think this particular bill is going to be one of these tools that will reintroduce the idea for those folks that weren't around, senators and members of Congress that weren't around when we had mandatory country of origin labeling. It's going to help in that education, and it's going to give family farmers and consumers something to go to their prospective legislators and urge them to support. So it's I think the prospects are certainly stronger than we have seen in several years, and I'm once again just really pleased that they've picked up this mantle, and we plan to be there to support them all along the way.
Well, I'm changing the subject just a little bit, but still on the same. You know, our farmer luncheon that we had, I think you saw how South Dakota Farmers Union does it. And but I'm always amazed when we line them people up to go through the line to get their lunch, at how many people will say that's all the farmer gets, and really, there's a lot of people that just don't understand the chasm between farmers and them. And I think that our state fair is a good opportunity to have that really advertised.
No, that's a really good point, Wayne. And for folks who have been to the state fair, I know that they probably know, because I feel like that line was so incredibly long. The you know, 1,000-plus people that you guys feed there in a short time with this lunch that I think this year only cost them a quarter, representing the farmer's share of that. It's just the perfect kind of education. The other big education that I think a lot of folks had out there was when we had the pandemic disruptions, and suddenly you saw certain products in the grocery store unavailable, or saw price gouging. And I think consumers at the same time were hearing the stories about all the problems that farmers were having on the other end. And they finally, I think, were beginning to understand really that connection and the problems that we're seeing in the food system these days.
You know, the big takeaway, you know, from the farmer share luncheon, talking about the panel discussion, you know, the big thing that pops into my head, the big word, is sustainability. You know, we maybe should do this farmer share luncheon more often, but economically it's not sustainable. we can't afford to do it. We can't afford to lose money like that so much. And same goes for the farmer too, you know, coming back to the pandemic and not having that product readily available for people. Back to country of origin labeling, you know, making sure that our U.S. beef is truly U.S. beef and directly in a positive way impacts the local farmers and ranchers.
Yeah, I that's exactly right. And I think, you know, Farmers Union has been pushing this for a long time, but going back to that notion of sustainable, I think, you know, for a lot of folks, they might get confused with, you know, well, what are you talking about if we're talking about sustainable here? But as you just pointed out, it's about keeping family farmers and the folks that are actually growing the crops, raising the livestock out there, making sure that their livelihood is sustainable so that our food system continues to work. Too often, for the last many, many years, the big push has been for efficiency, efficiency in the system. And while that certainly needs to be true in some respects, this idea that we have fewer and fewer packers, we have fewer and fewer food manufacturers, fewer and fewer suppliers of the items that farmers need, while that may be efficient, it is certainly not sustainable. And it puts, again, pressure not only on farmers and ranchers, but also on consumers. So we're glad that this is getting a lot of airing right now. Certainly, this is the reason why Farmers Union came into existence in the first place, was to bring fairness to farmers because of the markets at the time. And we're finding ourselves now in very much the same kind of situation. And it's high time that we get our legislators to pay attention to this. We're glad to see the leadership like we're seeing in South Dakota. We need to see that across the country so that we can get some real change here.
All right, Rod. I can't let these guys have all the questions. So not as many fly-ins. People from South Dakota and other states are wondering how they can best get their message across. We need more bipartisan stuff. We need things done. How are we going to do it?
Yeah, it's a great point, Bill. Fly-ins are tough in today's world right now, but one of the benefits, if you will, of the pandemic has been it's become in some ways easier to get in touch with your legislators. And so for Farmers Union members, it's about staying involved and about getting involved with Farmers Union, because South Dakota Farmers Union does a great job of staying very much, as you just saw there with Senator Rounds, but the rest of their delegation, and making sure that farmers' voices are being heard in those legislative offices. And we can do that through video calls. Those are happening very regularly now. We certainly hope we get a point where we can return to in-person meetings on a more regular basis. But there are lots of ways to stay in touch, and Farmers Union certainly has ways to do it. But the main point is get involved.
Rob LaRue, appreciate the visit. And we're still going to get you and your buddy Zippy on together. I can't wait to do that.
That would be great.
Talk about bipartisan. Thank you.
We work a lot together, so appreciate it.
You betcha. When we get back, we're going to talk with another one of the South Dakota Farmers Union Pride honorees, Brian Jensen. I don't think he's singing Elvis today, though. This is the South Dakota Farmers Union Show. Joining me in studio this morning, Brother Wayne Soren, Vice President. Are you still here?
I'm still here.
And who's this Luke guy?
He's a vital cog in the South Dakota Farmers Union.
Cog? I've heard him called a lot of things.
Called worse.
But it's usually not the word cog. But we do have one of the gentlemen that is one of the winners of the South Dakota Farmers Union Rural Dakota Pride honoree. Ryan Jensen is our guest. Wessington Springs, you moved there from Mitchell. And I say the word volunteer around you. Do you have time to do anything but volunteer with all the things that you're doing?
Well, sometimes I question that, if I can actually run two businesses with doing some volunteering. But I do have time to run my businesses and do some volunteering, which thankfully I have employees and another owner, which is my sister, and thankfully for my mom, who helps me out a lot too, and also with my employees. So,
Ryan, yes. I've got to ask you a question, though. How old are you?
I am 41 years old.
All right, here's what you wrote. I have lived a great life thus far, and it's my hope the kids and all kids get any opportunity to do the same. At 41, you got a lot of living left, son.
I do have a lot of living left, but the life that I've lived, I've had great opportunities, and I've been, you know, honestly surrounded by great people, which makes me very fortunate that I've been able to enjoy life and do the things that I do in life, I guess, per se, is why I wrote that. I find myself blessed, I guess, to to be surrounded by good people and be able to do good things, I guess. So.
Ryan, this is Luke.
Hey, Luke. How are you?
Hey, I'm well. I'm well. I got to just say this. You know, if I had to label you with one word, I'm probably going to go with humble. So I got to say, you know, we're honored to have you as a South Dakota Farmers Union Rural Dakota Pride honoree. You know, you do so much for the community, you know, in Wessington Springs there, my hometown. Like you said, you know, you're running two businesses there. You're doing all these events with the school and just community fundraising events. You know, what drives you? That's the big question. What drives you?
What drives me? Oh, gosh. I don't, you know, to make people happy and to be, I don't know, I like to see someone smile. And honestly, what drives me is I want the best for my kids. I want them to be able to say, you know, that Wessington Springs, that was awesome. And I want them to say, you know, we live in a great community, and that's the community that I want to live in, whether they choose to come back to Wessington Springs or not. I want them to say, you know, it was fun living there, and I want that for all kids, not just my kids. You know, I say my kids because, you know, that's just what you think of. But I mean, I want my kids and my kids' friends to say, you know, Wessington Springs was a great community to live in, and we had a lot of opportunity there.
Ryan, you know, I'm not from Wessington. I'm from Lake Preston, but it's kind of the same thing. When you live in a small community like ours, it takes the village, you know, so for anyone to step up to help out, it's important. And all the things that you step up and do is very impressive, and I really appreciate you doing that. And hopefully you can become a beacon for somebody else to step up later on.
Well, thank you. I joke, I say someday I've told lots of people that say, you know, when people say thank you, you know, for doing something, I don't feel like I really do a whole lot rather than just, I don't know, doing stuff. Anyway, I say someday I'm going to be a full-time volunteer, and I hope that someday I'm able to do that. So
for the listeners that are listening here today, I just want to give a little bit of a resume on Ryan. Let's see here. Oh, my gosh, Ryan, I got so much here in front of me. Coaches youth.
2 minutes.
Youth baseball, basketball, helps out various school events. I know you've been in even high school plays, you know, helping out with that as an additional role there, raising money for the city pool that needed major improvements, impact community youth in various ways. Another big thing, Ryan, is you do this golfing for a cause. So I know this is something that, you know, it's been around for a little while, but give a little rundown on golfing for a cause.
So what it was, you know, so how it kind of got started is our community went through a tornado devastation. And so at that time, wanted to do just a little bit of something. And originally I called it the Twister Turnaround. So it was to raise money for individuals in Wessington Springs to go into the funds of whoever needed it. So that, you know, started out with that, and then I decided, you know, I want to keep on going with this for years to come, and so that's why I called it Golfing for a Cause. And Golfing for a Cause is just a golf tournament in Wessington Springs that helps out a family or someone in need. Usually I try to pick someone that's going through a rough time in their life. If they're sick, have hospital stays, to go back and forth, you know, from hospitals. You know, unfortunately, those aren't covered by insurance when you have to make trips back and forth. So it's just something to help a family out or an individual out who needs it at that time. And it also, it not just benefits the family, but it also benefits a beautiful golf course in Wessington Springs. You know, it brings people in there. It helps the business, helps the family. So, you know, it's really a twofold situation, and why I do it, why it's very near and dear to my heart, because I love to help people out, and I love to help other businesses in the community. So,
Ryan Jensen and his wife, Jen, great yes. story. And as far as I'm concerned, you're 7 under par already this morning.
Well, I don't know that I'm that good.
I've heard about your handicap, so we got to get it even. We appreciate your story. You're a perfect example of South Dakota Farmers Union, the pride honoree. Ryan, keep up the good work, will you?
Well, thank you. And I'd like to thank Luke Rendell, you know, for for having confidence in me and giving me the nomination. You know, I sure appreciate it, Luke, and I appreciate the things that you do in the community done in the community. And so
I appreciate that as well. We need more of you around, Ryan. That's for sure.
I don't know if everyone would say that, but I kind of have my hands in a little bit of everything, it seems like. But I love it, and I love my community, and I'm happy to call Lexington Springs my home. So
we appreciate you. Thank you. God bless.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. How did you become a Farmers Union member? What would you say?
Well, first get a membership. That'd be the first step. And once you get that, then you have opportunities to get a monthly newsletter that kind of outlines what the Farmers Union, both statewide and nationally, can do. And then there's lots and lots of opportunities for youth, for young people, for practically anybody to get involved in whatever your passion is. And not everybody has the same passion. But we need them all because ag is a big area.
Luke, when we talk about Farmers Union, we've talked this morning about a 43-year-old. He's thinking sometime down the road he's going to be something else. He's doing a lot of things before he gets down that road. But young farmers working together, why is that so important?
Well, because they're the next generation. You know, I read a statistic, and this is probably not 100% accurate, but the average age of our rural farmers are, you know, pushing 65-plus years old. So somebody's going to have to take over. And if we want these small family farms to continue to operate and support youth and families and small communities, they're vital, you know. And that's a big role of Farmers Union, too, is ensuring that our rural communities they stay put, they thrive. You know, and I think I'll just say this in your notes here. It says being a Farmers Union member, what does it mean? I think one thing is just doing the right thing, you know, for our family farms and ranches.
When we come back, we're going to talk safety. We're going to talk with Terry Ebright. We're going to talk to that man in motion and Laura Edwards before we close up shop. Well, he is the original Rocky Foreman with us this morning. Man in motion. We're talking safety. Terry Ebright's going to follow you. So what are you doing out there, son? Are you spreading the word about being safe with the harvest season not far away?
Yeah, so it's been going really good. We had a great showing at the South Dakota State Fair. I can't remember the exact number of kids that we put on the ATV simulator and went through the South Dakota Farmers Union safety trailer. We just was in Rapid City on Saturday, so it's been a great summer, and we've got to see quite a few kids and went to a lot of schools, and so it's been a really good summer with the safety trailer.
So, Rocky, I always try to plug the safety trailer, but, you know, really, it's kind of your thing, your baby. Give us a lowdown. What's all in the safety trailer?
So we have a ATV simulator that we can put the kids on, and then that tilts each direction so they can get a feel of what it's like to be riding on a side hill or going up a hill or down a hill. And it does tilt down far enough that if you tilt it all the way down, if you're on a side hill like that, the chances are pretty good that you're going to tip. And then in the trailer, we have a farm scene where it points out some high spots where to watch out for it on the farm. Talk about grain bin safety. We talk about power line safety. Talk about PTO safety. There's a lot of signs in there. Like right now, the slow-moving vehicle sign is a really important one with harvest season right around the corner and all the combines and grain carts and trucks that are going to be on the roadways during the harvest the next couple weeks or 3 weeks or a month or whatever it does to take to get harvest accomplished. So just remember to give yourself a little extra time. So if you do get behind a combine or a grain cart, you can make a safe pass so we don't have anybody getting hurt through this harvest season.
Well, I think you hit it right on the head there with that slow moving sign. You know, we all need to remind ourselves that, you know, harvest is coming right around the corner, and there's going to be a lot of big equipment on these roads, county roads, you know, even the highways. You know, and, you know, when the time comes to get the crop out, you don't have a real big window, you know. Maybe Laura will tell us something different, but, you know, there's been many times when snow hits the ground, so it's time to do work when it comes to harvest. So you're absolutely right. Rocky, and you know, another thing that we do at Farmers Union is the FFA Farm Safety Quiz Bowl. And I got to say, you do a heck of a job organizing that. And give us a little bit of a lowdown on that.
Yeah, we just got wrapped up Saturday of the fair for South Dakota Farmers Union Day. We have the top four teams. Well, let me back up here a minute. We take 18 teams from the FFA chapters around the state, and at the state FFA convention, we'll have a contest, and the top four teams with the highest score go to the South Dakota State Fair on Farmers Union Day. And then we have a championship round contest, and that went really well this year, I thought, of some close matches or games or whatever you want to, however you want to say it. The kids did great. They were really fun and fun to work with, and I just couldn't be more proud of the kids that took time out of their state fair schedule to come and compete in the Quiz Bowl. It was a really great event, I thought.
Rocky Foreman, the man in motion, South Dakota Farmers Union. We'll talk again next month, okay?
All right, thanks, Bill.
All right, let's check in with my friend Terry Ebert with Sioux Valley Energy. Terry, I know that safety is a big thing to you 12 months out of the year, but this is the time of year, much like the planting season, that you worry.
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. We've got a lot of farmers returning to the fields, and of course the spraying and everything's done for the season, but now they're going to be hitting it hard to get their crops out of the field, get the combining done, and then finish up their fall tillage for the year.
So the kind of accidents that you hear the most about, I know that we did talk in the spring about a few of those that seem to run into cycles. People are not expecting to see the big equipment out there, and if they're not expecting it, they probably can't stop.
Yeah, that's right. The equipment, farm machinery just keeps getting larger and larger so we can cover more acres, and it's very important that they recognize the fact that they're buying bigger equipment, and the power lines aren't getting any higher up in the air. So they have to account for that and make sure that we're getting under those lines as safely as we can.
If you happen to hit a power line, once you've hit it, you probably have a little spark in your body. How are you going to avoid being one of those that is the late member of that combine crew?
Yeah, stay right in that combine or tractor or whatever piece of equipment it is you're operating at the time. Stay in it or stay on top of it. You'll be perfectly safe there, and wait for our people to come. You know, call 911. They'll get a hold of Sioux Valley Energy and get our guys dispatched out to de-energize the line and make sure it's open, and they'll test it and ground it and make sure it's safe for the people to get off the equipment.
Other than talking to this show, which goes nationwide all over the world with the things that we can do, what else are you doing to make sure the word gets out?
You know, we've talked to several radio stations, and we run some television ads and things like that, you know, just trying to make sure that our members and other people that are in the farming community can be safe. We participated with the Hefty guys up at their Ag Days this summer, and we had a high voltage trailer up there where we demonstrated what 7,200 volts is capable of doing, and just anything we can get involved with, fairs, things like that, to make sure that we're getting a message out to keep our farming community safe.
Terry Ebright, we're going to be talking with you on our show in the next couple of weeks. Keep people safe, and if we have to get some of the news that people weren't, we need to share that too. Maybe it'll serve as a warning.
Yeah, it's been good being on your show, Bill. This past week, we've only had one farm-related contact with our power lines, and it was a silage cutter. So contacted our neutral, and we got them all taken care of. So.
Terry, we'll talk soon. Appreciate you.
You bet. Thanks, Bill.
Last stop this morning, South Dakota State climatologist Laura Edwards. Laura, safety's a big deal. So's the weather. What are you expecting in the next week or two?
You know, pretty nice conditions the next week with temperatures above average for this time of year for the most part. Looks like we do see our next chance of rain or thunderstorms Thursday to Friday of this week, but that's pretty much it. for the 7-day period. As we look out ahead towards the end of September, it looks like mostly warm and dry to end September. So overall, I think really nice conditions, really nice weather for drying down that grain in the field for our corn and soybean farmers.
You know, as I talked with an ag secretary, I talked with farmers with soybeans and corn and said, which do you want, a week of sunshine or an inch of rain? What do you think they said?
Oh, this time of year, I think sunshine.
Rain.
Rain. Said,
anytime we can get rain, particularly, it surprised me, too, that they were on far different corners of our territory, and it was they both said, take the rain when you can get it. We could still use the moisture.
Yeah, I do hear that from farmers out and about. And, you know, this time of year, what the rain does is it recharges our soil moisture, and that helps set the stage for next spring, for our next growing season. So that's the good thing about fall rain is we can store it and save it in our bank account for 2022.
I'm hearing already in North Dakota they're talking frost next week. What are we looking at here? And tell us about the long-range maps that come out this week.
Yes, I don't think we're going to see a frost for a while. I was looking back at the Sioux Falls data. We have not had a frost in September since 2012. The earliest frost we've had in the last decade is October 4th. So our average date is getting later. But with the warmer than average outlook for the next few weeks, I don't see an early frost at this point. We could use a frost, though, to kill some of those insect pests that are really still nagging us out in the field.
You spent a little time last week working on the Raven Precision Ag Center at SDSU. How proud are you of that?
Well, it's a fantastic facility, just really incredible. And the lab space, the classroom space, the office and collaboration is all really fantastic. It's really great to see this partnership with precision agriculture, ag engineering, agronomy, plant science, horticulture, a really, really great opportunity for our future, for our students, and also for our faculty and staff all across the university.
Laura Edwards, South Dakota State climatologist, appreciated you weighing in this morning.
Great. Thank you for having me.
All right, Wayne, Luke, what did we learn today?
There's opportunities everywhere. I think from Senator Rounds, I take a lot of good vibes from that. I hope we can get that down the road a little further.
Like I said earlier, it comes back to sustainability, you know, and these are things that we need as American farmers and ranchers. We need MCOOL. We need transparency in our markets to keep these family farms and ranches operating.
Well, and it's nice to be able to hear Senator Rounds be concerned about his family.
Absolutely. Yes.
Take time for us and other broadcasters around the region.
And we appreciate him so much. We know that he's got such a crazy schedule, and with his wife dealing with her doctoring, we just can't thank him enough for taking time.
Your harvest, how's it going?
It's getting closer every day. Laura Edwards was saying probably sunshine. I was looking for the sunshine. I've had 2.5 inches in the last 2 weeks, which is about half of what I've had for all summer. It's time.
Well, I'll give you a list of those that have had none who said rain.
You're right. Right.
Whatever it is, we'll follow along. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you in October. We really do appreciate Wayne Soren, Luke being with us, Rocky. I'm Bill Zortman, South Dakota Farmers Union Show. Thanks for joining us. Our time is up. Thank you.
Kello News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at kello.com.